Welcome to Baylor Connections, a weekly conversation series with the people shaping our future. We go in-depth with Baylor leaders, professors, and more, discussing higher education, research, student life, and other topics of interest in the university and broader community. It's part of our partnership with KWBU-FM, airs each Friday morning at 11, and is available online at baylor.edu/connections. This is Baylor Connections. I'm your host, Derek Smith, and today our guest is Dr. Gary Mortensen. Dr. Mortensen was named as the Dean of the School of Music at Baylor in 2015. Prior to coming to Baylor, he served as the Director of the School of Music, Theater, and Dance at Kansas State, which he helped form after years as a professor and department chair there. Also an award-winning musician, he served as International Trumpet Guild Publications Editor and a long musical career that's helped lead you here to Baylor. So, Dr. Mortensen, welcome. Glad to have you on the program today.
Happy to be here.
Tell us a little bit about your musical journey. What helped lead you here to Baylor?
Well, I grew up in the Chicago area, and my father was a musician. He was a high school band director there. So I experienced anything that a young person would experience in Chicago during the 70s and 80s, my formative years. So the Chicago Symphony Orchestra is one of the best in the world. My father was a very active jazz musician, so I really had a wide variety that I was exposed to. Chicago also has a wide variety of ethnic music as well. So you get in back into the neighborhoods of Chicago, Italian and Polish and Lithuanian and Estonian. It's all there. So just about anything that could be heard, I was hearing during that time. I went to undergraduate school at Augustana College in Rock Island, Illinois. Went and taught in the public schools for 2 years and then went out to Ithaca College, where I performed with the faculty brass quintet there and did my master's there, and after Ithaca, went to the University of Texas and in Austin. So that was my first introduction to Texas. Then went out and taught in Louisiana, South Louisiana. Talk about jazz music. That's where it all happened. Then after 5 years there, moved to Kansas State University, where I was for 26 years, just doing a lot of performing and a whole lot of teaching. About 15 years into my experience there, started dabbling in administration. One fateful day, about three years ago now, I got a call. Someone had nominated me for the dean's position here. I wasn't really looking, but I was intrigued and curious. And the more I started learning about Baylor, the more intrigued I was by the School of Music here. It's known pretty far and wide that people know about music schools, that the Baylor School of Music is a very good school of music. So the more research I did and went through a couple interviews, and the more I met the students, the more I met the faculty, the more I researched the faith-based mission of Baylor, it just seemed like it was going to be a great fit for me. And so I'm now 2.5 years into it and enjoying myself very much.
Now, for you personally, as Dean of the School of Music, a lot of responsibilities. Do you still find enough time to play the trumpet as much as you'd like?
No.
Yeah.
That's the simple answer, is to do my job correctly. Trumpet is a very unforgiving instrument. You need to play it to be good at it and to keep your skills up. There aren't enough hours in the day. My day starts around 6:30 in the morning, it's pretty heavy with meetings and trying to figure out strategic plans and trying to position the music, School of Music, to be the absolute best it can be. And that extends up to dinner time, and then often there are recitals at night. So sometimes I don't get home until around 9:15 or so. Hard to pick up the trumpet when you're that tired.
Sure.
So.
Well, you mentioned concerts to attend. I think that as we talk about the community aspect, that's one of the most obvious angles that the community can really enjoy what you do. What are the concert offerings that people could enjoy look like?
Right. The Baylor School of Music gives about 350 performances a year.
Wow.
About 95% of those performances or more are free of charge to the public. So our doors are open, and there's just a huge variety of music, from choral music to wind music to orchestral music to chamber music to solo recitals, degree recitals on all the different instruments, to faculty recitals. There's a robust amount of chamber music, string quartets, brass quintets, woodwind quintets. We have a very robust, wonderful jazz program that I want to brag on just a little bit here. when I came here, the jazz program was exceptional, really, really fine, but not really supported financially. And that's very often the case. So that's not a rub against Baylor at all. Jazz music has to work hard to kind of carve out a niche for itself. So I started working on identifying donors that could help. And a Baylor grad by the name of Wayne Fisher, who has his own law firm in Houston, came forward because he loved jazz. And he had experienced music while a student at Baylor quite a while ago. And we started dialoguing. And lo and behold, recently he came forward and decided to endow the jazz program.
That's fantastic.
And name it. So it's now the Wayne Fisher Jazz Program at Baylor University. And the endowment he established gives scholarships to four players in the top jazz ensemble. It helps buy music. It helps bring outside artists to come in and do master classes. And this last summer, the jazz top jazz group went to Greece on a mission trip, which is part of what Baylor School of Music does as part of our faith-based. And so they were they played at churches, cathedrals, outdoor venues, and they actually even played at a Syrian refugee camp.
Wow.
In Greece. And Wayne Fisher helped make a lot of that possible.
We are talking to Dr. Gary Mortensen, Dean of the School of Music at Baylor University. And, you know, obviously jazz is one big area, but the School of Music is really multifaceted. Could you give us sort of a little bit of a brief rundown of what all you offer to students? Because I think it goes far beyond what a lot of people might anticipate.
Yeah, a great School of Music needs to prepare musicians to go out and make a living in a lot of different areas. And the more pigeonholed you are, you know, I mean, if you espouse to be, well, I'm a classical musician and that's all I'm interested in, well, good luck putting food on the table someday, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, the world of music is huge out beyond university setting, and a lot of schools of music are rather narrow. So what we do at Baylor is we try to expose students to the very best fundamentals that we can so that they are exceptional musicians. Because if you understand theory, if you understand history, if you understand styles and nuances of music, then you have the basis to go out and do a lot of different things. We know today that students will graduate from university and won't make a living in one area. They may not even make a living in five areas. They may have to do as many as 10 or 12 different things.
Wow.
To really so it's that fundamental musicianship that helps them, but chamber music, solo music, so music is also a multi-billion-dollar business in America, so understanding the entrepreneurship behind music, being able to go and network and work with a very, very wide variety of musicians is very, very important. So these are some of the things that we stress to our undergraduates and in our graduate program as well.
You mentioned undergraduates. Is that a focus maybe of the Baylor School of Music, that undergraduate education piece that's a little bit distinctive?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question because, you know, Texas is full of great music schools. So if you go north of here, the University of North Texas is one of the largest schools of music in the country. If you go south of here, the University of Texas at Austin has a huge music school as well. Both of those schools have very robust, very large, well-populated master's and doctoral programs. At Baylor, we really excel in the undergraduate area. Our student-teacher ratio is there are about less than five students for every professor. So at Baylor, you're going to study with the top professor right away, not a graduate student. And that's a very real difference between the Baylor School of Music versus a mega university that has a huge doctoral program, for example. That also allows really fine undergraduates to crack into all of our top performing ensembles, so they get experience. If they were at UT Austin or at the University of North Texas in the very top groups, say the 1 o'clock jazz band at North Texas, hardly anybody in those groups is an undergraduate. And yet, if you hear our groups perform, they perform exceptionally well. So they're largely populated by undergraduates, but those undergraduates get great opportunities to make high-level music.
They acclimate quickly, very quickly.
They really do.
This is Baylor Connections. We are talking to Dr. Gary Mortensen, Dean of the School of Music at Baylor University. And Dr. Mortensen, I'd like to transition a bit now to talking about the ways that the School of Music interacts with the community opportunities beyond the concerts that you mentioned earlier, and kind of the broader world as well, because there are a lot of ways that Baylor students get out of the practice room or the classroom and serve in a number of ways. But maybe the most visible aspect of Baylor music, it can be seen in the Waco Symphony Orchestra. It's a orchestra that goes far beyond what you might expect here in Waco University. It's a partnership mm-hmm. with Baylor. Tell us a little bit about that partnership. I know it starts with Dr. Stephen Hyde, the conductor, being a faculty of the School of Music.
That's right. You know, we have a unique situation here where Dr. Hyde is the director of the Waco Symphony, a professional orchestra, and also the director of the award-winning Baylor Symphony Orchestra. There are about 80 members in the Waco Symphony. Slightly over half of those members have a direct connection to the School of Music, meaning that they're either students, undergraduate students, master's students, or they are faculty members in the School of Music. And so when you go and see the Waco Symphony Orchestra, it sounds great, and know that the connection is very real between the two, and that's very important outreach. The Waco Symphony also supports the children's concerts that we do every year. There's a 75-year tradition where they bring elementary school children in and fill Waco Hall, 2,200-seat capacity, three different times. So it's
wow.
Over 6,000 students are introduced to classical music, and they'll hear music of the classical and romantic masters and make the connection. They'll even work with their elementary school music teachers in advance of the performance so that they have a greater appreciation for what they're about to hear. In the area of, students with special needs, we have a program called Oh So Musical, where every Monday night a number of students will come in that do have special needs, and they'll learn about music, make music, and form an appreciation of music through this special program that we have, with just about one-on-one instruction and support for that program. Then let's talk about mission trips. The church music program sponsors a mission trip every single summer, and this last summer, the young men from the men's choir went to Kenya. And there they brought over shoes, they brought over clothes, they purchased chickens for the community, they chipped in and helped build infrastructure for the community while they were there, and then they sang everywhere that they went. This group was notable in that on the way home after an exhausting 22-hour plane ride, they still were full of joy, and they sang the coconut song, which somebody recorded that went viral. And
viral on Twitter and a number of different social media outlets, yeah.
And on United Arab Emirates website, and 14 million hits later, more people in the world learned about that group than probably every sporting event we've done in the last year. So.
You can't get that kind of publicity for the School of Music in any other way.
You can't buy it, that's for sure.
Yeah. No, that's great. And you know, I think it speaks to, you know, we talk about music being the international language, whether it's visiting in Kenya or Greece or the Syrian refugee camp, or even also closer to home. You mentioned Oh So Musical, working with students with special needs. And I also want to talk to you about the Music and Memory program. But music is one of those things that can break through a lot of barriers, be they developmental or some sort of a disability that someone faces, or with elderly patients as well, with the Music and Memory program.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the Music and Memory program. This is brand new, and it's an idea that came to me from Deborah Williamson, who's on our voice faculty. And there's a memory care unit here in town, Living Springs, it's called, and it's actually supported by some Baylor faculty and folks. But we know that at the beginning of life and at the end of life, that the way the brain starts to make connections and the way that the brain processes things at the end of life when things shut down, we know that music can break through barriers better than just about anything. They've done a number of studies where for dementia and Alzheimer's patients, listening to music trumps all drug protocols to date as far as helping people reengage and reverbalize and express themselves. There's nothing like music. It truly is an international language. It transcends all cultural barriers. It seems to transcend a lot of medical barriers. So we know that music adds greatly to the beginning of life, the end of life, and every stage in between. So I think music is vital and important to our culture, to our well-being, and to our society at large today.
You mentioned maybe end-of-life care, someone dealing with dementia or Alzheimer's. It seems like a tune can get those brain synapses firing or trigger a memory that just a mere spoken word doesn't seem to be able to.
Yeah, what the Memory Project, Music and Memory Project, is all about is it's an organization that's nationally, and when you join and pay the dues to start working with that organization, they send you iPods. And the purpose of receiving that technology is then individually in memory care facilities, through interviews, you find out what era and what music may impact somebody the most. And then from there, you load that iPod with music that person might connect with. And then they go and they play that. And just to see them come alive and to see them. The other part of this memory care thing that we're doing is once a month out at Living Springs, we're taking our students there and they're doing little performances for them. So far, they've already done two, and I've attended both of those. To see the lights come on in the patients that are there, and to see how it adds value to the days of the staff as well, because think about it, working 8-10 hours in a memory care facility, I think is very challenging employment.
Yeah.
And so to see the staff and to see the administrators there and to see the people that are living there impacted by this is really, truly something to experience.
Well, are there any memories specifically that stand out to you from being involved in this?
Yes, actually. There was one elderly female patient who was sitting off to the side by herself. And one of the two performances, we did hymns. And the countenance of this lady was actually quite dark. But when the music started, it seemed like something lifted for her. And she actually started singing, not one verse, not two verses, but she continued to sing all four verses of the hymn. And afterwards, we were told that this specific person was basically nonverbal and would go weeks without saying hardly anything. And here, and just the light came on in her eyes, and that was really something to see.
It's really more than music. It's adding to the dignity of someone's life in a really, really tangible way.
Absolutely.
We are talking to Dr. Gary Mortensen, Dean of the School of Music. And Dr. Mortensen, got just a couple more minutes here as we wind down on Baylor Connections. But in your couple of years here as Dean of the School of Music, you know, we talk about 350-plus concerts the community can enjoy, hearing great music, great student musicians, also some fantastic facilities like Jones Concert Hall, Roxy Grove Hall. And speaking of great facilities, within the last year, there's few bigger, few more iconic than Carnegie Hall. Tell me about that opportunity that some of your students had to take part in a concert there.
During my first semester as dean, one of the things I was charged to do was come in and take the School of Music to the next level. Well, the School of Music was doing just fine and already was a very fine School of Music. So how do you take such a great school to the next level? What I came up with is the Semper Pro Musica Solo and Chamber Music Competition as a concept. And what happens with that is we have a two-round competition in two areas, the solo area and chamber music area. And the goal of the competition is to identify the top 4% of talent within the school, so roughly 15 students or so. So the first year we did it, we had about 60 students participate, and what we did is we identified winners, and we took them to Dallas, and they performed at Highland Park United Methodist Church there, and they had a great recital at an external venue. The whole goal of this was to eventually take the winners to Carnegie Hall, where they would perform in Weill Recital Hall. It's a very elegant 19th century type of hall that seats 270 patrons. The second year we did it, the Carnegie Hall first year, we had about 90 students participate, and we took 14 winners to Carnegie Hall. This in the third year, we have 120 students participating, and on May 23rd and 24th, we'll present our winners, the organ winner in St. Bartholomew's on Park Avenue, and the solo and chamber music winners the following night, a Thursday night at 8 p.m. in Weill Recital Hall. I know of no other school of music in the United States that offers undergraduate and master's students the opportunity to give a Carnegie Hall debut while they're there. So I'm very pleased that we're now seeing about one-third of the student population of the school is participating in the first round of the competition.
That's fantastic. Yeah, really no few bigger names in terms of venues to perform at than Carnegie Hall.
Yeah.
Well, finally, Dr. Mortensen, you said something off the air that I want to close with because I thought it was really good. We talk about music being the international language, and we've talked about that here on the show today. But why right now do you see that being especially important?
Yeah, I think one thing we are all very concerned about in the United States and indeed in the world right now is the polarization of people. It seems that it's getting more and more difficult for us to talk to each other in a civil fashion. I think that recent developments have done quite a good job of highlighting our differences and maybe pulling us apart. And I think that music has a great power in society today, a great power to bring people back together. Because often if we're in a room and we start talking about politics, we start talking about economics, we start talking about various things, we could get into trouble in a hurry. Music is a great way to engage with each other, to talk to each other, to talk about the music, to realize that many of our values come together with music. We understand intuitively about music. Throughout history, things that could not be talked about could be presented through music. Music unites us. It brings us together. We're not consciously aware of things that drive us apart. And that community that's created through that process, I think, is something that's invaluable right now.
Well said, Dr. Mortensen. Thank you very much. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you. That is Dr. Gary Mortensen, Dean of the School of Music at Baylor University, our guest today on Baylor Connections. Thanks for joining us today on Baylor Connections. I want to remind you that if you'd like to go back and hear this show, you can go online, baylor.edu/connections. I'd like to thank Brody Bashaw, station manager of KWBU-FM, and also Cassie Bowers and Lori Fogelman of Baylor Marketing and Communications for their assistance. I'm Derek Smith. This has been Baylor Connections on 103.3 KWBU-FM, Waco.